What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is April 27th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. We are leading with Yusei Kikuchi. Is there a chance? Well, maybe. He's not doing too well right now. Two innings, four runs, nine hits, four walks, and zero strikeouts. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? In his pitching performance against the Chicago White Sox on Saturday, oh my gosh. We had 0 over 27 whiffs on his four-seamer, 93.8 mile per hour. Velocity is just not going to cut it, while the slider had a 52% strike rate. I mean, of course he's going to have low strike rates. He had all of these walks. The problem here is twofold. One, Yusei Kikuchi hasn't come through despite having an amazing schedule to start the year of six teams that are below average offenses. And the second part is that he's on the Angels. Why does that matter that he's on the Angels? Well, they aren't really known for their pitching development. And I had my concerns entering this season that Yusei Kikuchi would not get the help he needs when he's in trouble to fix whatever is broken to get back on track. And we haven't seen that thus far in the season, I should say. Because let's look at this. He has been lower in velocity all year. The slider feel hasn't been there. The changeup has been introduced a bit more than we would like. All these elements are just a far cry from the second half that we saw from Yusei Kikuchi last year, where it was 95 on the four-seamer, if not 96, with a dominating slider, and that's really how he had that successful second half. So I'm not saying that Yusei Kikuchi is just doomed to fail the rest of the year. I am saying that the expectation of him getting up on the horse again on the next start, probably not. So I'm okay to let go of Yusei Kikuchi in my 12-teamers. Jesus Luzardo, though, is the opposite side of it. He went against the Cubs, got a win, six innings, zero runs, three hits, three walks, and five Ks. I've been expecting Luzardo to have a little bit more trouble as the season goes on, considering that Luzardo is a guy that has notoriously undulated with his success. He would have these cherry bomb seasons of great performances like this, but really more like seven strikeouts and zero walks, etc., and then follow it with 500 runs, 600 runs with tons of home runs. Now, there are two major differences this year. Of course, pitching for the Phillies just helps with a win column. But really, it's that the slider that he used to throw to right-handers has been swapped for a sweeper. It's just way better. He's not making the same mistakes with that sweeper as he does the slider. And it used to actually be two of the pitches at the same time to right-handers. Now, he only threw two sliders the entire game to right-handers. That's pretty cool. It means that he's leaning into his change a bit more against right-handers. That sweeper is more for a backdoor called strike than it is a down-and-in, ankle-biter slider, a back foot. And I do worry that over time, Jesus Luzardo will allow more hard contact on that fastball. He's not someone with an unhittable heater. He's generally very good at going upstairs or inside with the pitch, but it's very susceptible to damage when it's over the plate to right-handers. And we haven't really seen that thus far, and I think we will get it, but this is amazing, and I have to keep increasing him and raising him in the list every week. I get it. We also know the history of Luzardo, and it's not even May yet. We can't just say that all of a sudden the next 5 months of the season will be this brand new thing for Luzardo, not to mention the injury concerns that we've seen. So it does make Luzardo a prime sell high if people are considering him as a top 30 starter moving forward. But this is very good right now, and I very much regret not having more Jesus Luzardo. Even though I was in for the first weekend, I didn't think I would be continuously starting him after. We have Michael Wacha against the Astros, and guys, we should all be okay with Michael Wacha. He's a really good Toby, if not better, at this point. Six innings, zero runs, four hits, two walks, six Ks against the Astros, and keep in mind, that's a right-handed heavy lineup. And what's Wacha's best pitch? The changeup. That usually works really well against left-handers, opposite-handed batters. But he killed it here, and he's still under 20% rostered in leagues. He gets Camden next. I'm definitely down for that against the Orioles. Luis Castillo took full advantage of his time in Miami. So he got the win, six innings, zero runs, one hit, two walks, five Ks, in the tee against Miami. That is in Seattle. So he got two good things there, pitching at home and, of course, the weak lineup. Both the slider and changeup went to 44% CSW. The fastball is up to 95. Good to see that, not 93, 94. I'm still a little bit worried about the full season with Castillo, but yeah, we just keep holding for now. Clay Holmes. A lot of people have been really aggressive in their Clay Holmes love. He's at like a 2.5 ERA right now, but his whip is 127. He's not getting a ton of strikeouts. He had that 10 strikeout game and I believe also an 8 strikeout game, but the whiffs weren't there. 13 whiffs. That is the highest number of whiffs he's gotten in a start. And this one was against the Nationals for a win. 5 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 2 Ks. Only 70 pitches because the first inning came with a 40-minute rain delay. And I imagine that did affect him as it went on. I totally get why the Mets were easier or quicker on the leash here. But the changeup had a 71% strike rate. That's really cool. The sweeper had a 4-for-17 strike rate. Oh boy, that's under 25%. And watching this game, I saw a lot of sinkers that were very hittable to the Nats. And awesome. I'm happy Koufax was there. That was great. I'm not seeing a 25% strikeout rate guy because the whiffs are generally just not there for Clay Holmes. I'm also seeing someone that is a little inconsistent with his ability to get strikes in a given game. I think the sinker is more hittable than we like it to be. It is not ridiculous movement, believe it or not. He's not throwing 96, 97 or so. It's like 93, 94 is what you're hoping for. Really 94 plus. And I just don't see Clay Holmes as that top 40 starter that some others do. I've seen, I think, a comparison to like Seth Lugo. And I think we can all agree that Seth Lugo has a much larger history of success and longevity throughout an entire year, B, being more efficient inside of a start, and C, has a better put-away pitch in that curve, or I guess they're calling it the slurve now, whatever. Way more dependability with Seth Lugo than Clay Holmes. Keegan Aiken opened for Charlie Morton, who did terribly, and we should stop rostering Charlie Morton. Jonathan Cannon was also opened for Tyler Gilbert, went an inning, and he actually went 7.2 innings, 300 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. You know what's really funny about this? He did not get a quality start because he didn't start the game. And maybe in some leagues that's okay, but I just find that really funny. Also, it's 5 strikeouts and 7.2 innings. Yes, it's about a 1 whip. He also left with 1 out left in the 9th with a 10-3 lead, which is kind of funny as well. 300 runs actually isn't so bad when you throw almost 8 innings, so that's okay. I did love the changeup in this one from Jonathan Canning. 10 over 32 whiffs is really cool. 32%, 34% overall usage, but 62% specifically to left-handers. He was really feeling it down and away to them. And I wonder if that's something that does stick around. We've seen Jonathan Cannon have these moments of phenomenal command, and it just doesn't always stick around. So I hope it does for him, and then we can actually play the 18-12 overture. But I don't really feel like this is the start to do it. Yes, he did get a win. It wasn't the most amazing ratios. It was pretty good, but yeah, I'm not ready to do it. I want to see a de facto start that is just, oh, Jonathan Cannon, oh my gosh. Then we can play the cannons. We have Ryan Pepiot against the Padres. He got you a win. 6 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. The four-seamer was a CSW darling in this. While the slider and change were in the zone, but not well commanded in the zone, the slider was upstairs. The change didn't get as low as you want. He needs to be more consistent and more polished for him to get that aces gonna ace tag. You have KC Mize against the Orioles, got the win. I think a lot of people want me to raise him up as well. 5-point winnings of 1 and run, 8 hits, 0 walks, and 5 strikeouts. 13 whiffs, 31% CSW. The curve and slider are the number 3 pitches right now. Curve slash slurve, whatever you want to call it, in a slider. They combined for 2-for-17 whiffs, with the curve going for a 33% strike rate, but the slider did actually land decently against right-handers away for 88% strikes. It's not special. Maybe that's all it needs to be. Four-seamer's fine. The splitter is fine. It's all fine. And that's really what I'm trying to get at with Casey Mize. I'm not saying that, like, you're 15-teamers, you should be dropping Casey Mize. And in 12-teamers, if you want to just keep rolling with it, by all means, go ahead and do that. When it comes to finding a league winner, someone that is, like, a top 30 starter for the year, it's not Casey Mize because he just does not have enough outside of that two-pitch mix. And yes, it is a two-pitch mix. He's really a two-pitch pitcher with four-seamer splitter, and everything else is just trying to figure out what else can complement those two. So I still haven't seen a good answer to that question. And the four-seamer isn't just overwhelming guys either. I'm not totally sold, but yes, he is a good enough pitcher to be a Toby in your 12-teamers. Semien Woods-Richardson had himself a day. 5-point win innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 7 strikeouts for a gold star. My gosh, I had zero expectations for production from Semien Woods-Richardson, and we have seen the vert go up on this four-seamer. It was there again today, 19 to 20 inches of vert, which is great, but it came with 91 mile per hour velocity last time. Now it's 93, and that are 10 for 47 whiffs. That's a near 22% swinging strike rate. That is so good. You love to see that. The curve and some sliders were the focus against these right-handed Angels, and it worked. I'm glad. Not the greatest command, as his four-seamer wasn't just completely up. It was a lot of the zone at times, etc. And I'm not really sold that Simeon Woods-Richardson is a 10 four-seamer whiff guy moving forward. So if he's able to actually showcase that four-seamer going upstairs and gain good pitch separation, then we might actually be onto something here. But in the meantime, he's not really the kind of guy I want to go for, unfortunately, Simeon Woods-Richardson. I understand if you do, by all johns, you can go and do it. We still wait for Zebby Matthews, but I understand the Twins are not going to do it if Paddock is producing well enough, and so is Simeon Woods-Richardson. Kiedier Montero went for the Orioles, 4.1 innings and one run for its 2 walks, 2 Ks in this doubleheader day, and he was only pitching because they realized that they could have Joe skip once, and they're like, yeah, sure, let's just have Montero go and utilize the doubleheader extra man for a day. Makes a lot of sense. So we don't see Job this weekend because of the rainout previously. Framber Valdez went 8 innings, 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. Changeup was really good, and I'll always be happy to see Framber Valdez having a great changeup, as I believe that is his biggest weakness getting solved, is that changeup against left-handers. Changeup against right-handers, because a sinker can get crushed by right-handers, and the changeup should be the nullifier. He also located the sinker away from the middle of the plate in this one, too, so he's able to cruise 96 pitches for those 8 innings is great. And then there's Robbie Ray, and I'm going to tell you all about Robbie Ray and everybody else that went in Saturday's games after this break. Robbie Ray, oh, finally! 7 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts, 23 whiffs, 38% CSW, got a golden goal. The only 2 runs he allowed were off of Jake Berger sack flies, if you can believe it. And his slider was great, 8 for 25 whiffs at a 40% CSW and 72% strike rate. Finally, he got proper support for the four-seamer, so he didn't have to go, like, I don't know, 90% four-seamers for the first 40 pitches like he did before, which is insane. The changeup also 5 for 17 whiffs. My gosh. Now, I will tell you, the changeup was not as good as those whiffs will tell you. Some of those swings were not really, should not have been swings. They were bad chases. And the general precision of that changeup is still a work in progress. The four-seamer is still really good. Top of the zone a lot of strikes. Seeing the slider work really well at a right-handers is a lovely, lovely thing. He also showed up with a curveball. The knuckle curve was there. Only 5 for 12 strikes, but he did introduce it later in the game. It was around the 5th inning. He's trying to see if he had it. Didn't have it. That's fine. It's still not peak Robbie Ray because we don't have the changeup working as well as we want. We don't really have the curve there. The slider is great, but a little bit too much of the zone at times. But still very much worked. It's good. I mean, 1 walk. You guys can see it now. This is why Robbie Ray should not be a 3-4 walk guy. He's not the guy of old. You understand that now, I hope. And he gets Rocky Road next. So I'm excited. I'm not saying to you that this is everything that I was talking about with Robbie Ray. We're still not seeing that finished product quite yet. Because that changeup isn't quite the reliable pitch yet. And I need another start or two just to make sure that slider's 65% plus strike rate is alive. I don't need it to be 72 every time. Just 65% would be so, so nice. Merrill Kelly against Atlanta, 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. 93 pitches. This is Merrill Kelly. This is what he does. He's a Toby. I mean, it's really like his classic thing with the changeup doing great things, and then you have the four-seamer and sinker gang double-digit called strikes. That's all you want from Merrill Kelly. That's great. Mitch Keller against the Dodgers, 6 innings, 2 earned runs. I know. 6 base runners, 6 Ks. Insane. Only 6 whiffs. That's it. He leaned into sweepers and curves more than usual for about 35% usage. I'm all for that because I really do think that Keller's four-seamer and sinker and cutter are just dead zone and get hit so well. And he did spot his pitches here against the Dodgers. I just think it was one of those days where he pitched well. And props to Keller completely for doing this against the Dodgers. I just don't want to take the chance that it will be a good day with Keller. You have Tyler Malley against the Giants, 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and just 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? He didn't earn a single whiff on any of his 92 to 93 mile per hour four seams seamers. That's crazy to me. Tyler Mahle, 0 for 38 whiffs on his four seamer, and he featured 28% cutters. Wow, it was the Cannibal McSanchez of high cutters a lot here. And then he also allowed that near two whip of 9 base runners in 5 innings. So I'm not quite sold on Tyler Mahle. The four seamer should be dominating a little bit more. And are we going to get that four seamer cutter mix working in a way that isn't 8 hits in 5 innings? I hope so. It's just not enough. Like, you didn't really get much here. You just got a decent ERA at the cost of a terrible whip and 1 strikeout and no win. This wasn't a beneficial game. I want you guys to understand that. Dylan Cease, 4.1 innings of 2 runs, 6 hits, 4 walks, and 6 Ks. This was one of those days that you normally see from Cease where he just cannot get strikes against lefties. It's pretty much that. And I will always bang the table saying, hey, you can't get your four-seamer where you need to against lefties. You got to throw a cutter instead. This is why the cutter should exist. But whatever. The slider's still really good. And I'm a little conflicted about aces against ace for Cease because, yeah, we recognize that these are those games. You really just have one terrible game otherwise, that 9-run disaster. And should that mean that you lose aces against ace? No, like that happened and you move on kind of. Like, you're still going to start Dylan Cease every time. Are you actually going to stop starting Dylan Cease? No, you can't. On the other side of it, I should mention, he doesn't have a single game above 7 strikeouts this year. Yeah, Dylan Cease does not have that, which is crazy, right? Super weird. It should happen. The slider is still amazing. Brad Lord went against the Mets. 4 innings of 200 runs. He had 8 whiffs on 49 four-seamers at 95. That's kind of cool, but that's about it. And he also did not spot them that well. Walker Buehler is a Toby. He went against the Guardians in Cleveland. 6 innings, 300 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. So you got a win or a quality start, but 4.5 ERA, a 1.33 whip, 3 strikeouts. Ugh. You know, it was a left-handed heavy lineup, so I think the best quality we've seen from Walker Buehler is the sweeper to right-handers. That's been a really good pitch for him. Down and away, that's the thing that I circle and say, hey, look, you have a game plan here. This works. Against lefties, he's still trying to figure it out. Changes, change-ups, and curveballs, 1 for 29 whiffs here. Cutters were over the plate. Like, he's still figuring this one out, and I don't really know what the path is for him to be something near a 25% strikeout rate. I see him more like a 20%, honestly, with what he does. And if it's a right-handed heavy lineup, maybe that goes up a little bit more. But for the most part, yeah, Walker Buehler, you're not that great, I think, on a 12-teamer. If you're win-hunting, go ahead, Toby time, you know? Hunter Green went to Coors, 6 innings of 300 runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, but 8 strikeouts, 117 whip. The only thing is just one extra earned run, and then everyone would be super thrilled about this one. The slider went 59% strikes. Coors does things, the breaking balls makes them move left, so it doesn't surprise me too much. Sonny Gray against the Brewers had a very, very poor quality start. That is 6 innings, 300 runs, but 10 base runners with 3 walks and just 4 strikeouts. He's up to 92, 93 on the fastballs, which is good to see because we've seen like 90 and even 91. And I think that his command to left-handers should be far better than what we saw in this one. So I wouldn't worry too much about this one. Roky Sasaki against Pittsburgh. You think this should be amazing, right? He didn't even get a poor quality start. He got pulled at 5.2 innings for Philly. And it was 5 innings, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. He still doesn't have a third pitch. He's trying to make that slider work. He threw 24% usage of sliders. And it was 46% strikes. Like, when is a cutter or a sinker going to show up? Because it can't be this thing. Like, you have to throw something else. You have 7 feet of extension. That is good. That allows you to build off of it. And it's clearly not this. What's actually interesting is that 7 feet of extension on the four-seamer, I think like 7.1 or 7.2. But then it's under 7 feet for the slider, which tells me that he's releasing it too early and not getting out far enough. He's kind of training like a curveball almost on how he kind of casts it. And at times you can kind of see him do it. So to me, it's like, oh no, you just got to stay out longer. And hopefully you can throw like a harder one and wait, that's a cutter. Okay. Maybe a gyro slider. Try and do that. I don't know. Brandon Young against the Tigers, 4.2 innings, 300 runs, 4 hits, 5 walks, 6 Ks. You don't need to touch Brandon Young. There's a chance that this actually works because he did have decent pitch separation. He was just a little bit too far out of the zone a bit with everything. And maybe if that actually, gravitates towards the middle a little bit more, that was 5 walks turned into 2 walks, and it's actually more successful of a game. But I am certainly not going after that. And with Kyle Gibson possibly returning next week, then Brandon Young's time in the rotation is out. Antonio Senzatella went against the Reds, whatever, 4 runs in 5 innings. You don't want to do that. Ben Lively against Boston, yeah, it wasn't a good one. You don't really want to chase Ben Lively, save for the weakest of matchups, 5 innings with 4 runs. We move on. Tanner Houck was on the other side of that one, 5 innings, 4 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. The sweeper did get a little more break, and that's good. The splitter wasn't there. And there were also times that he missed sweepers and sinkers arm side dramatically. And I'm just not doing this at all. Jeffrey Springs did not have a time of sunshine and rainbows. And it was pretty cloudy in Chicago against the White Sox. If he can't do it against the White Sox at this point, 6 innings, 5 runs, 9 base runners, 4 Ks. I don't want to go after this. Quinn Priester against the Cardinals, 5 innings, 5 runs, 8 hits, 3 walks, 2 Ks. Yep, do not touch this. It's a sinker trying to get a ton of called strikes, and you need the slider and or curveball to then be a really good complement, and they haven't been yet. So wait for that to show up until you go and chase it. Ben Brown against the Phillies, 3.2 innings of 6 earned runs, 9 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. I'm just not in on Ben Brown until he has a third pitch. And I know I've said that for ages, and he's had some good starts regardless. That's fine. He might when the four-seamer does not get hit, and he throws a lot of strikes with the curve. And I am actually applauding him for having more whiffs on the four-seamer than I expected. At least it's more than it used to be. But it's still like a 12-13% swing strike rate, not like 17%, 18% at times. And he really just needs something else because he just can't make it four-seamer curveball right now. Connor Galipsey was terrible in Seattle at the tee. And nope, you can't go after Connor Galipsey, obviously. Doug Nikhazy, 3 innings of 6 earned runs, 5 hits, 6 walks, and 3 Ks. This is a guy in the spring that I actually got a little excited about because he had 7+ feet of extension and had a decent amount of vert on the four-seamer, even though it was 89 and 90, hoping that he had more in the secondary department, and he doesn't. Also, I mean, this is just like a worse Joey Cantillo with the Guardians, who has a much better changeup than anything that Nikhazy has. So that's unfortunate. I will pay attention. Anytime a guy has that much extension, even though he has 89 to 90 mile per hour velocity, I will see if he has at least command and also some really good secondary to pair off of that fastball from the left side. And then I got to talk about Grant Holmes. And I obviously been very disappointed in him. I'm sure so many of you have as well. I've been endorsing it, saying, look, this is a guy who was really good last year, had those moments that really sold me. It was the curveball and the slider both being 20% plus swing strike rate pitches, if not hinting at like 24, 25% with high strike rates. Then he had a four-seamer that he commanded around the zone really effectively. And what we've seen this season is actually an improved four-seamer. He's introduced a little bit more of the cutter. However, the slider and the curveball have taken massive steps back. And in this one for Grant Holmes, it was 5.2 innings of 6 earned runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks, where most of those runs actually were off of Eugenio Suarez's bat, where he hit 3 home runs off of Grant Holmes. One was on a four-seamer that was like way up, like really good one, and I'm still kind of, I don't know, enamored. Like, I'm like, wow, Suarez, how did you hit that out? Oh my gosh. The slider had a higher strike rate in this one, 71%, but just 5 over 34 whiffs. The curveball was barely touched. And this is not the Grant Holmes that I've been expecting. I've really been thinking like, come on, Grant, like, you know what works. He's also had a really rough schedule. I mean, he was supposed to have starts against like Miami, for example, but he's gone against the Dodgers. He's gone against the Diamondbacks. Of course, he's gone against the Phillies. He's had a really rough go of it. And he gets the Dodgers next. So, look, I think at some point, Grant Holmes does get those secondaries back, right? The slider has gotten more whiffs than this already this season. It's not quite 24% or so. It's like a 17%, but I think that should get better. The improved fastball, even though the command of it is a little weird, is still present. And I think the curve, it's got to come back. It's just so strange to see a pitch like that completely disappear. And over time of a full season, those things do return. So what is good is that he's still at 93 pitches. I think one of the biggest criticisms I've seen is that this guy can't go deep into games. And first of all, Atlanta lets him. In second, he had 93 pitches in 5.2 innings. And he almost made it through another. But then Suarez hit his third home run. Grant Holmes, obviously not going to be in my top 50 or whatever. And during this, he's probably going to be in the 70s, something like that. It's unfortunate. I wish it were different, but we just haven't seen it yet. And it's one of those things of you don't know if it's going to be like Tarek Skubal first 2 games or so, and all of a sudden he's back in track and everything is totally fine. You don't know, you know, if it's like Jesus Lizardo, who's going really great and hasn't fallen off yet. And you don't know if it's a guy who just keeps doing poorly. And yeah, this is what reality is. Or if you are going to steer the ship, right? Robbie Ray, everyone's been saying that his walk rate's always going to be bad. All of a sudden today, yesterday, he destroys it, right? So it's always really hard to tell when do we give up and not. Grant Holmes is someone I think at this point that we can move on from, because the ceiling should not be so high for us to continue risking this. So this is disappointing. So it goes, stupid Eugenio Suarez ruined this entire game. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for your support. And I really do appreciate those ratings and reviews on iTunes. They go a long way for us. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock. May your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.